Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon and a blessed pre-Thanksgiving day. Love on you and yours as you're cooking and preparing for family, whether you're traveling, no matter what your preparations are. I pray that you will make God your first concern. We are here for you today, for those who may not be doing anything, or for those that we are in covenant relationship with, who this is a difficult time of the year for you. We want you to know, reach out and let us know. And as we reach out, we really sincerely want you to share that which you are concerned about. God is concerned about everything that his children are concerned about. And so we must always communicate our love and our concern for one another. We're here this evening because there is an awesome wave move of the Lord and of Holy Spirit on the body of Laborers for Christ. And as an apostolic prophetic house, we want to always be on the cutting edge, right at the ear and the mouth of God, so that we know what our next position and focus should be. We were so blessed this past week in worship with a powerful, powerful worship of God preparing his people for the task that is before them. And we don't have to see the complete task. We just need to know God is moving around us. He has invited us to join him, and he is in covenant relationship with us, and he will bring us to the proper understanding of what it is we need to know and to do. And so he wants us to walk by faith, not get ahead of him, not try to see the whole picture. As he shared with Joshua when the children of Israel were preparing to cross the Jordan to go into their promised land, he shared with them, keep your eyes on the priest and the ark, because you don't know which way to go. And you were supposed to stay back 2,000 cubits. And I know that that's very important. And we need to research in the Word of God and understand what that position is. It's first of all, a very humbling position, you know, because even if you are a leader, you needn't think that you're leading, but rather you are following the word of God and the high priest. And we know our perfect high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word of God comes to us in many forms, as the apostle and prophet shared during one of the trainings. You get it through the word of God. You get it through the men and women of God. You get it through the Holy Spirit. Brings it to you, and I know a prophet. There were four things, and I can never remember. No, I have one. But the Lord will show us those things that he is using to reach our spirit so that we become not just obedient, but we become empowered by the process that God has established for us to walk in. And so we are waiting on the prophet to get online and just waiting for a powerful move. And I encourage you to get a pencil and piece of paper so as he goes through those things that has been shown him in the spirit realm, we can make note of them so that going forth, that's part of our prayer focus. And we can ask God concerning them. One of the things that the prophet shared with the body of Christ was the prophetic word, as well as the anointing oil. And so, prophet, are you on the line?
I am. I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm trying to figure the button, but I am on the line. Yes. Good evening. Good evening. So, yes, thank you, Overseer, for such a powerful introduction, just a segue into what we believe is what God wants to continue to download in the heart of Laborers for Christ. We as a ministry, definitely one of the things that the Lord just began to share, that we are definitely a significant and a relevant church, and really challenging us to see ourselves as part of the global vision, the global brand of the body of Christ. And I know at one point, if you remember, we had just talked about the level of prophetic activations. And one of the things that we talked about in general was understanding that the church holds a significant power, and us really embracing the concept that we are part of the one entity that will exist forever, which is the church, simply because our King is the our King is King over all kings. And so one of the things that on Sunday that just began to birth in our spirit, began to birth in our heart, is for us as a body of Christ, as us as Laborers of Christ ministry, understanding that we play a significant role in the kingdom, that we are a global brand that God is using to fulfill Revelation 11 that says the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and he shall reign forever. And really us taking ownership and seeing ourselves as part of that global brand that God is using, that God has used, and that God will continue to use in these last days to bring about his kingdom in the earth, his will being done as it originally written in heaven. And so we release seven activation oils. And we would like to just take some time as a body, take some time individually, as an apostolic and prophetic house. We encourage you to pull on the revelation and let's share it. Let's expand the border of it. Let's not leave it to one person to have the entire vision of it. But as you take a hold of this word that God is birthing in us, as a body of Christ, we are just the mouthpiece, the voice that God has used to set a stage so that we can begin to birth and give vision to what it is, to give vision to the plan and the purposes of God. And so we talked about these seven oils, and they are this. Number one, the oil of gladness, for worship, warfare, and devotional living. The oil of gladness for praise, worship, warfare, and devotional living. The oil of vision for kingdom assignment and visionary resource. The oil of vision for kingdom assignment and visionary resources. The oil of obedience for sacrificial faith, kingdom missions, mandates, and mantles. The oil of obedience for sacrificial faith, kingdom missions, mandates, and mantles. The oil of joy for strength, spiritual breakthroughs, and endurance. The oil of joy for strength, spiritual breakthroughs, and endurance. The oil of praise for deliverance, prison doors opening, victory, and distraction and destruction of your enemies. The oil of praise for deliverance, prison doors opening, victory, and distraction and destruction of your enemies. the oil of hope for long suffering, promise waiting, and prophecy fulfillment. The oil of hope for long suffering, promise waiting, and prophecy fulfillment. And then the oil of ministry for kingdom building, soul reaping, marketplace assignment, and kingdom advancement. The oil of ministry for kingdom building, soul reaping, marketplace assignments, and kingdom advancement. And so I do want to give us some scriptures for the oil of joy, and let's take these next few minutes as a body to build on it and share what we see and connect what we are hearing God say as it relates to this oil of gladness. We were in this place of prayer, and the Lord just began to show me how he wants to. It was almost like a flask being poured out on us, being poured out on Laborers for Christ, being poured out on our apostle. And when I began to see that flask in heaven, what was coming out of it was this oil, and these was the oils that was being released. And we just began to write them. We began to write it down as the Holy Spirit began to make vision of it. And Sunday, it was the call of it for us to release it. And just to be transparent, I wanted to have scripture. I wanted to have content. I wanted to be able to share on it. And I realized that I couldn't. We just had to go with what that prophetic flow was. And so we had made it our own personal commitment to go back and to just allow this to meditate in our heart so that we could begin to see this foundation. And remember, we started off by saying that was one of the first things that the Lord said to me was that Laborers for Christ was significant and relevant. We were an important part to the global brand of the kingdom of God. And so I just wrote it down. And then the next thing that we began to see was this flash from heaven. And from this flash was pouring out these oils. And this was what God began to release. And so one of the first scriptures I would like to look at that got me excited was Zephaniah 3:17, as it relates to this oil of gladness. And so what I'll do is let me give you all of the scriptures, and then we can kind of go back and look at them together. So for the oil of gladness, let's write down Zephaniah 3:17, Psalms 102, Psalms 51 and 8, Psalms 4 and 7, Psalms 45 and 15, Hebrews 1 and 9, and then Acts 2 and 46, and then I will go back later and reiterate it. But I definitely want us to look at Zephaniah 3:17, Hebrews 1 and 9, and they just blessed me in reading them. I don't know if I have anything so wonderful to say about it, but just reading it stirred my heart, and I was definitely glad to look to share what I was excited definitely to share Zephaniah. And so I want to pull it up. I had it in a particular version and I lost it. But let's look at it and read it from there. Okay, hold on one second. So Zephaniah 3:17. And what version is this? It says, "The Lord your God is in the midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. And I got excited about the gladness part, but also got about the loud singing because I identified that I'm a screamer in church. And so for me, I was like, okay, God sings loud, so do I. So Zephaniah 3:17, anyone has it in a different version that they would like to share? And I'm trying to pull that one up because I'm not for sure which version it is. Okay. So the new NLT says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will delight in you with gladness, with his love. He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Let's also read it out of the Voice version of the Bible. The Voice says, the Eternal your God is standing right here among you, and he is the champion who will rescue you. He will joyfully celebrate over you. He will rest in his love for you. He will joyfully sing because of you like a new husband. And then let's read it out of one more version. Let's look at it out of the New Living Translation. It says, for the Lord your God is among you. I'm sorry, that is the same one. The Amplified says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love, making no mention of your past sins. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Amen. So again, Zephaniah makes it clear that there is God is excited about us. And I think that that is something that we have to take hold of, embracing that God rejoices over us. He rejoices over labors for Christ. He is excited about his plan, his purpose, what he has ordained, what he has released over us. He takes good pleasure in the apostolic grace that's over our house. He takes great pleasure over the ministry that we do. It is not an Apostle Charnette vision. It is the vision of God, and we are the tool who God is using to bring forth this awesome and wonderful plan. And so I want us to embrace that same level of excitement, that same level of rejoicing, understanding that we are part of the global vision of God, that God has personally, heaven is personally pouring out on us with intention. He is pouring out on us with power and grace. He was specific about what he was releasing over our lives as it relates to the oils, as it relates to the season that we were not about to, but the season that we are walking in. And so when we look at Zephaniah and those words and embracing that God has a beat, he has a heart for this ministry. He has a heart for the people of this ministry. He is concerned about everything that concerns us. And so he pours out on us the oil of joy so that we can have a praise, we can have a greater level of worship, we can have a greater level of warfare, and we can have a devotional life with him. I see that devotional life as part of the building of what Overseer is describing about the cubic and staying with his feet, keeping our eyes on the priest and the ark. And so we have this relation, this devotional relationship with him. And God is giving us the grace through the oil of gladness to pour out on us. So devotional living is not laborious. It's something that we look excited for. It's something that we go to bed, can't wait to get up to spend that time or that moment with him or whatever our set time is. We can't sleep at night because in our sleep we have these constant praise and worship and adoration towards him. Now let's look at Hebrews 1 and 9. Hebrews 1 and 9, it says, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions." Embrace that. Embrace that revelation that God is describing that about our house, that our house loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. We rather do what was right than to be named among the common. And because we stood for something, because we stood for righteousness, because we embraced the plan and the purpose of God, our God has anointed us with the oil of gladness above your companions. So we embrace that. We embrace that as a house. Let's look at Psalms 102. Psalms 102 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing." Listen to that. There's a position in how to serve God. And not that, you know, we don't have warfare, we don't have battle, but the scripture, according to Psalms 102, it's a command. It's something that we said on Sunday. We understand that praise is not an option. It's not something you can choose to do or not. It's not something you can choose not to do. Psalms 150 says, "Let everything that have breath praise the Lord." David declared, "So bless the Lord." He said, "I'll bless you at all times." There will be a continuous, and one version describes it as a contagious praise that constantly flow out of my mouth. And then Psalms 102 positions you or tell you how to come before him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. We say it all the time, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Bless his holy name. You know that word bless means to enlarge, to make known. It means to expand and declare. So when we are in church and we're calling out the names of God, when we are shouting about his goodness, that is what we're doing. We're blessing his name. We are acknowledging you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. And I serve you. I serve you with gladness. I serve you with gladness. When the car was broke and you can't get to Ohio, I'm talking about myself now, you know, all the, I'm going to serve you with gladness. I'm going to come before you with joyful singing. And I'm excited that the Lord has given us that oil. Remember, this is an oil that is poured out on us. It is an oil that is released over us. And so our praise is going to look different. Our worship, our warfare, our devotional life will look different. Psalms 102. Let's look at Psalms 4 and 7. Psalms 4 and 7 was also another one I have joy. Listen to this one. "You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. When everything else, no matter what the enemy done, whether it was good or bad, whether it was the promotion, it didn't matter. The gladness that you put in my heart outweighs it all. Paul said it. Paul said, I count it all as dung. And that dung, we know what it means, but in the contents of it, Paul was not just talking about the bad. He was also talking about the good. He said, you are gooder than good. You maximize good. You make good great, and you make great greater, and you make greater the greatest. And the psalm writer said that it is he who have put gladness in our hearts. And so anyone who may be struggling with some depression or with oppression, it is a foul spirit. It does not have legal right to settle in your heart or in your spirit, because according to Psalms 4:7, he has put gladness in your heart. He rejoices over you with singing. And so you have the authority to uproot any demonic, any situational, any lie that you told yourself, someone told you, or the enemy told you. You have the ability, according to Psalms 47, to uproot it and evict it, because you have been anointed with the oil of gladness, because he has put it in your heart. He has put it in your spirit more than when there was grain and new wine about. Whatever else settled there, God trumps it all. Let's look at Psalms 45:15. Listen to this. They will be led forth with gladness and rejoicing. They will enter into the king's palace. They will be led forth with gladness and rejoicing. They will enter into the king's palace. Look where he's taken us. Look at the places that he desires us to go. Look at the doors that he is opening. Let's see this move that's in our heart as part of that king's palace. It is the direction in which God is taking us. It is the quantum leap of faith that God is operating inside of us. I don't know if I told you this, I don't know if you, just to remind you what we said, we did some research based on the building amount, based on legal, what statistics says. We should be anywhere between a 200 to 300, and a minimum of 200 adults going for this kind of land that we are going for. So God is leading us forth. He is calling us to break barriers. He's calling us to go beyond boundaries and norms. There are certain places that won't even loan to the until you have a certain capacity. And so I'm saying that to say that that is that oil of gladness. That is why we praise and we worship God. That is why we embrace even when the warfare comes, because warfare knows that we are breaking statistics, boundaries, and barriers. We are moving beyond the norm and into a place that God has purpose and ordained for us. And let's look at Psalms 51:8. And I also got excited about Psalms 51:8 because I understood the context of the scripture. We definitely know that that is the scripture when David had fallen short. And it was, you know, revealed to him through the prophet, and this is David's prayer. But look what he says. He said, in the midst of this, he said, make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Not all that other stuff. Not the fact that I failed, not the fact that I screwed up, not the fact that, you know, in the content of the scripture, you know, his son is dead. Not that he didn't kill another man. He killed another man, put him on the front line. His son is after him. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, and then let the bones which you have broken rejoice. He declared it. Let the bones which you have broken. I understood that I needed to be broken. But I want the bones that you have broken to rejoice even in the midst of it. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You know, and I do just declare that over our situation and circumstances, over someone listening, that what you need to stop listening to what you've been listening to and hear the joy and the gladness of the direction in which the Lord is taking you, and may the bones which he has broken continuously rejoice and to rejoice over you. And then let's look at the last one, Acts 2 and 46. I also got excited about this one, just as it relates to the fellowship of us growing, the ministry of one another, and really embracing, continue to build and grow on that concept. But Acts 2 and 46 says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, one mind, you know, one vision, one direction, and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. What a beautiful picture of the church. What a beautiful picture of kingdom. What a beautiful prophetic palette that we can begin to look forward to, that kind of sincerity, that kind of oneness will be named among us day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity. So that is that is what the Lord had begun to deal with me as we are building on this awe of gladness. We're building on it. It is positioned for praise. It is positioned for worship. It is positioned for warfare. And it is that position for a devotional living. We began to share Sunday that there is something about this corporate praise, and even within the house, the Lord just began to challenge us. But I just saw it as sometimes you have these kind of open visions, and it you can't really explain them, but it was almost like I said it so quickly, but now I relive it. It was, you've ever been to like a game night or a house party. People are so excited about it, or you're looking forward to it. And it was like heaven was saying, let's play a game. Let's play Minute to Win It. And for 60 seconds, let them rejoice and watch what we do for them in these 60 seconds. And so we began to praise for 1 minute. And I believe with all my heart that miracles were released, doors were open, things were broken, transfers were happening, angelic assistance were being dispatched, and God was moving on our behalf. He was in charging and empowering us. Heaven was pouring this awe out on us. And so even within that, the Lord also gave us some declarations. It was some things that we had started declaring, and then we had began to release them over the house. So I do want to, at this time, open up. If anyone on the line would like to share or give comment or give feedback as we are building to this powerful activation of the awe of God being released over us, you can do so at this time.
Well, this is Pastor Rogers again. If no one else is going to say anything.
Good old Pastor, faithful Pastor Rogers. Hey!
We got to tell it. As God is pouring oil on us, I can thank him and praise him because I've been at battle or warfare with the city, but God had poured the oil on me. And I was just thanking and praising because he said, do not be angry, but just give him praise and be still and watch him work. And I'll tell you, God did it. They had a hold on our license. In fact, they had two holds on the license. And God released it, the water bill. They had put the water bill at $519, and I was like, what? But anyway, God allowed me to write the check. It was paid. Then they told me I couldn't get it because there was a hold for Arnie. And I was like, what? That's a sign. But they weren't charging. They just was holding it. So I was like, look at that devil. He just coming up with anything. And I was smiling. And the man said, you don't have to worry no way because your property is only by faith. So anyway, I just thanking God. And then Monday, here come another letter. They sending me another letter saying that they wasn't going to give me anything. I wasn't going to be able to do anything. So I called the ultimate. And he was like, oh, Ms. Rogers, you know they just trying to mess with you. I said, yeah, they did it before. And I'm not going to allow them to do it again. So, you know, sometimes God wants us to stand up. You know, we as the people of God, we have to take a stand and let the enemy know that who we are. And I was listening to God, and he said, when we walking by faith, he want us to go out with the whole armor. We talk about the whole armor of God, but then when we go out, we have to be bold and let the people know, well, the demons know, they just can't come around taking our stuff. So I was just listening to what you were saying, giving God the glory in everything, not being afraid at the experience retreat. I gave up being afraid, and I'm telling you, I'm not afraid anymore, and I'm not going to let that fear come back again. So one thing I'm learning that when you rejoicing in the Lord and when we're studying and singing praise, fear can't come in. So I was thanking God, the more you stay in his word, as you saying, day by day, and yeah, I try to get on this blog talk. I never had even heard of blog talk. But now that I try to get on it every chance or opportunity I can, because I love to meet, I love the fellowship with the congregation. And I feel that you have to do that in order to stay in that unity, to be on one accord, because if you're not coming together to find out for yourself what's going on, then you can tell one person this, and when it come back, it won't be the same. And if we can continue to stay on one accord, then we'll watch God work with that one mindness. So I just thank and praise God, even though tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Hey, tomorrow's not promised, so I'm thanking and praising him for the night that we were able to come online, because I was like, oh, I wonder if we're going to be on Block Talk tonight. But even coming together and talking and giving God praise, to me, that's a blessing and the anointing, because we couldn't do it without God. So I guess I need to be quiet now.
No problem. No. Thank you. That's that awe that we're talking about, that awe of gladness. You know, he has made me glad. And identifying those areas, embracing those areas, understanding. Because I think, you know, but Jesus said it to his disciples. He said, in this life, you will have tribulation. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tests. I used to often say, if I was the devil, I would fight me too. Because I clearly, you know, when you understand destiny and purpose, understand that we are significant. content and relevant. We are part of a global brand and vision that God wants to use in the earth that the enemy wants to fight. Then we embrace it, but we're able to do it in a different position. We're able to do it with the oil of gladness. And I think I want us to kind of like build on that gladness, because gladness is not definitely, is not being happy. And so you just got that as we were talking. So maybe that could be someone's passion. Let's begin to, you know, define and look at what gladness means versus us trying to seek this level of happiness, but being in a position where we can say, nevertheless, not my will be done, not my will, but thy will be done. Apostle Charnette shared a revelation of like that years ago when that broke that word down, nevertheless. If we would do anything outside of the will of God, it is us settling for less. Anyone else?
Yeah. Well, amen, prophet. I know the word has so much power. And there was an explosion of desire that everybody gets it, everybody hear it. And I just encourage everybody on the line, tell everybody, you know, at Laborers for Christ, they need to show up on Wednesday. This is life changing. And this joy, this oil of joy is contagious because it flows from us to those around us. And when they see our joy, it's really kind of hard to remain in our presence if they don't have it too. So it causes them to stop and think, why should she be with all these things that are going on, with all of the attacks, with all of the darkness around us? But there is a light that shines so brightly that it makes us blind to those things and only having eyes for the things of God. And that is such a powerful, joyous sight to be able to see those things from a God's eye view and to rejoice in them. Those words from the scripture, they tell us what we are supposed to be, what our emotions and our insights and our perspectives should be. That gladness, that joy, that there is unspeakable. And when it comes from us, it comes forth from us, particularly in difficult situations, people wonder, what's wrong with him? You know, and the enemy is trying to get us to respond in a way that is not glorifying and honoring and enlarging our God. And when he sees that we do, I know one author had the song, you know, the devil gonna be mad that he even messed with us, because what's going to come forth is the joy of God in our life. And so I praise God for being planted in the house with the soil that will bring forth the fruit of the Spirit with such a joy. It enlarges our territory, but more than that, it raises our Savior up. So I just thank God. That's what I am thankful for, not just tomorrow, but every day, that God has not leave me sitting on a pew at the back of a church somewhere in the choir and that's it, but rather pulling us out of our comfort zone and walking us through truly a fellowship with him and with his saints. So God bless everybody on this awesome night and day, because every day is awesome, and we need to see it that way. It should be a joy when our eyes fling open. God has something for us to do, something for us to be a part of in his holy kingdom. And like the prophet said, you can't just sleep. You want to get up and find out what it is. So praise God. I'm done. Yeah, hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. Anyone else? So I was
amen.
I Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I was just going to say, I truly thank God for the order of gladness, and he really have given a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I know Sunday was so all the anointing and the fullness and the high praise that went forth. And probably right before the retreat happened, asking Lord, I need the more of you and what that looks like. And he had me studying worship and praise and what that looked like. And it has just truly been changing my mindset and understanding his word and hearing the voice of God more clearly and just staying in his presence like never before. And I am so glad to be full of his majesty and his purpose and his plan for my life and for all of our life. As Overseer just said, we just need to be on the line, ready to receive, because what you decree and declare on Sunday is where we need to go forth, and we need to go with all power and authority. So I'm just excited. What's up?
Amen, amen, amen. Anyone else? So that Psalms 45, I wanted to do a background on it and really kind of understand it, because I like that part of 15 that says that they'll have this gladness, they will be led forth in the king's palace. And so it is actually a love song that was written by the Korahites, the sons of Korah, and we know that they were the important branch of the singers of the Korahite division. So they were what we would consider the praise and worship team. But it was that Psalms 45, the entirety of it is a love song, or it can also be known what they call a wedding song, written to a king on the day of his marriage to, you know, one of his women, and it is one of what they consider the royal psalms. And so just even like getting the background of that just kind of made me rejoice even more. and I felt like that complemented Zephaniah 3:17, even from the perspective that just like we sing unto the Lord with gladness, he also sings, he can out-sing us. And he definitely has a greater praise and worship band than we would ever have. But to even tie in, I knew it was important to get some background on Psalms 45, but let's see that is part of a love song, and I think that ties into that devotional living. It is a wedding song, and we can go all the way back until we can even tie it into what we've been working on at the experience. The experience was about 10 versions, being ready, being positioned, having their all full. And so when he comes, when you come to church on Sunday, when you come together to worship, is your all full with just praise and worship? Or do we come in a house with a flask that has no oil, and we're all trying to get poured into, but we should run into this wedding banquet. We should run into this place when we get together, and we should say, I have some oil to pour out on my king. And we could even go into that experience with the woman with the alabaster box, who took the most precious thing to her and opened that box and poured it out on his feet in the midst of it, and the aroma. We often talk about the oil, but it was the aroma that filled the room, and it was a distinct aroma. It was something significant to the place that Judas said, hey, I know that smell. That's a rich smell. That needs something cheap. He said, we could have took that, sold this, and did all kind of that. They understood the aroma, the fragrance of it was a distinct scent. You know the difference between cheap perfume and good perfume. You know, they walk in a room. And so understanding that we have this oil, we have this gladness that should be poured out on our King. And when we come together, now imagine all kinds of that sweet aroma, that oil, that fragrance that's being released in that one room when we come together. And we have it. We have it for praise. Oh, hallelujah. We have it for worship. We have it for warfare. We have it. We understand that the enemy is going to fight us. And we ain't running from, we running to. We're like a David who ran towards that Goliath, who understood that this uncircumcised Philistine, whether it was a water bill, whether it was depression, whether it was accusation against children, accusation against yourself, whatever it is, it don't have power to stand. It has to come down. And so we run to it with great we run to it in a new position of gladness. So that is the oil of gladness. Let's continue to build. Let's find out what this oil of vision is about, this oil of obedience, this oil of joy, the oil of praise, the oil of hope, and the oil of ministry. And so I do again want to just begin to release and go over again some of the declarations that we said. It reads, I am divinely chosen to do great things for the King and the kingdom. We declare that. I decree and declare, I am divinely chosen to do great things for the King and the kingdom. He also declared over us, I decree, I have clear divine vision this year. And I will bullseye in the realm of the spirit. You know, Apostle, at the end of the experience on Sunday, began to declare not just 20/20 double, not just clear sight naturally, but that we were going to have clear vision. And I think that that's so powerful because that's what she released Sunday, and then God began to build on that the following Sunday. We got clear vision as a church. We know what we should look like. We should look like what? All of gladness. We should look like all of vision. We should be a visionary church, constantly moving and innovation and ideas. We should be all of the, we should look like an obedient church. We should look like an all of joy, a church full of joy. What are we going to look like? We're clear. We're going to be all of praise, or all of hope, and all of ministry. And the Lord began to show me while we were in this, that when he was releasing this, that he was going to download more. And we were going to just begin to activate and share more of these. He's going to release these oils. He also is going to release these mantles. He also is going to release these ministry like assignments. And so we have clear vision. We know what we're going to look like as we move forth in 2020. I decree and declare, I have divine vision this year. I will bullseye in the realm of the spirit. I declare I will not miss fire or miss my godly target this year. I declare I will not miss fire or miss my godly target this year. And some of you just need to embrace that, because that's what's stopping you from pulling that bow. You got the bow pulled all the way back, but you never release the arrow, because fear or past failures tell you you're going to miss fire. You're not going to hit your target. Well, we have a declaration that we will not miss fire or miss our godly target. I decree I will have accurate vision and 20/20 sight and insight. Not just sight, but I will have insight to God's plan and purpose for my life. I don't have to know the full details. I have the insight of the Holy Spirit that is directing me. And so we declare that. I decree I am forgiven. The the cycle of the accusation of the enemy is over. And the Lord had begun to show me, even for myself, that I was in this cycle. The enemy accused me of some things and that I was kept living in this cycle. But I began to decree and declare that the cycle, and we are ending a cycle. We are, it is 2019. We are ending another teen cycle and about to go into a 20. Then, you know, you go into your 30s, as the Lord began to share, as we go into this 20th cycle, we decree that the cycle and the accusation of the enemy is over. We're not going to live our life according to the lie of the enemy or the enemy, the lie we told ourselves, the good lie or the bad lie. You know, the lie that we said we're all that, or the lie we say we ain't none of that. So we decree and declare that the cycle of the accusation of the enemy is over. I decree my ending freedom over my life, legacy, and lineage. When the Lord is showing me that, he just said, he said, Mike, you know you're not just free. You're free indeed. You free indeed. Indeed, things you've done, you free indeed. I wrote it out. That's what the Bible said. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. It is written. The deed says, the deed over my life says I am free. And not just my life, but my legacy and my lineage. I am free indeed. No longer with the world system jump in front of us and innovation and creativity. We were listening to another message, and they began to share, and as they were sharing, the Lord was sharing with me, and that was based out of that John 5, something we've confessed all of our lives as a church. We're born of, not as a church, but yeah, one of the first ministry launches that God gave us was out of John 5, will thou be made whole? And that was that man at that pool, and he said, I go. He said, I try to get there, and every time I go, somebody jumped in front of me, and the person who was speaking on that point this out and said, the man can actually move. I never saw that. I always thought that, you know, he was, and after 30-some years, he found a new strategic way to get into that pool quicker. But he always, the excuse was, somebody gets ahead of me, somebody gets in front of me, blah, blah, blah. And the Lord began to say, had me to declare, no longer with this world system jump in front of us in innovation and creativity. God is going to download ideologies, methodologies inside of the body of Christ, and people are going to begin to base their lives and live according to the plans and the purposes that God has ordained for the kingdom. No longer with the sons of the world lead the sons of the kingdom in industry and business ideas. And that's those seven mountains. We are going to rise as a body of believers. And I was praying with a friend of mine today. He began to share that there's this movie that was coming out about these black bankers. And the movie's not being released now, but it was about how these black individuals, African-Americans, got together to start this bank. And they said, no one would give you a bank. So they had a white person that was doing it, a Caucasian person doing it, but they were actually owned. And he was going from an African-American perspective, but then the Lord began to say to me, he said, begin to declare that for the kingdom. Can you imagine the kingdom having their own bank? We're having our own credit unions as the kingdom of God, and people are tithing to it. And so we decree and declare no longer with the sons of this world lead the sons of the kingdom in industry and business ideas. We will have righteous individuals leading, destroying that spirit of mammon, causing people to fall in love with what money, with fall in love with money and not the position of it, what it does. It's supposed to answer things. And so no longer with the sons of this world lead the sons of kingdom instruments, ideas. And the Lord began to say, the days of feeling ignored and disregarded is over. You will no longer have to anticipate your help for your miracle. That was his saying. He said, I can't get my miracle because I can't get nobody to get me in the water. He said, your help has come. And all this time, you were looking for someone else, and you were it all along. He was looking for somebody to put him in the water. And Jesus said, take up your mat and walk. He was his own miracle. And so no longer will we, to the days of feeling ignored and disregarded, is over. You no longer have to anticipate help for your miracle. Your help has come. And all this time you were looking for someone else, and you were it all along. The Lord said you are carrying something your inability is supposed to not be able to carry. What I'm carrying statistically, educationally, financially, culturally, according to society, whatever it is, I'm not supposed to be able to carry it, but I'm carrying it. Oh, man, I got excited about that. I am carrying something my inability is supposed to not be able to carry, but I am carrying it. What's in you is far greater than your capacity. God is increasing your capacity so you can carry what's in you, what's on you, and what's over you. When you get up from this, you will get up as he is. It's not what you wanted or needed for him. You will move forward as him. And I got excited about that, too, because the Lord began to show me that we were going to move forth as him. That's what the greater is about. I'm not moving in my own strength. I'm moving as him. And that is what Christ did. Christ said, when you see me, you see the Father. He just didn't move in Christ. He wasn't waiting for the Father to move. He moved as the Father moved. He said, I only do what my Father do. That's what last. And then Lord began to show me when he did some things, that's how Lazarus got up as resurrection. Why? Because Jesus said, I am what? The resurrection and life. When he fed the 5,000, the 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, the multitude was fed. He said, that was me moving. I moved as the bread of life. Remember, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. The woman at the well, she was looking for water. He said, you drink of me, you will have water where you never thirst. And so the Lord just began to show me that we're going to move as him. We will move like him. So we're trying to look for healing, but we're getting up as healing. We're getting up as whole. We're getting up just like he is. Amen. Oh, amen, amen. I'm excited.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to the plans and the purposes of God. We do wish you a happy, a blessed Thanksgiving. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Count your calories later.
Yeah.
Embrace the fellowship. Embrace. Speak life over your family. You know, this may be a wonderful witness opportunity for someone. Let that oil of gladness rub off in your house on tomorrow. Let people question why you're so contagious. What's that smile about? And begin to share what it is that God is doing and has done in your life. Invite them to come out. Let them know, hey, we are a church on the move with the move of God. God is doing something on our side of the town. He is moving mightily and powerfully. So, yes, before we pray, Overseer, anything else?
No, Prophet, that's it. That's the vision enough to run with. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. So I do, again, just want to close with a couple of prayers that we prayed on Sunday, scripture prayers, Genesis 28:3-4. We pray over this house. May the all-powerful God bless you, make you fruitful, and multiply your descendants so that you will give rise to nation after nation. May God give to you and to your children and this inheritance all the blessings of Abraham, that you might someday possess the land where you now live as foreigners, a land that was promised by God to Abraham. Then according to Isaiah 60:10b, we pray over you. God will restore you, reclaim you, and rebuild you because I cannot help but love you. Now your gates will stay open to a constant stream of gifts all day and night. They will not be shut as the wealth of nations is brought to you with their kings leading possession. Any nation that abstain, any peoples who decline from serving you will simply disappear. They will be destroyed. Eternal one. Meanwhile, the most beautiful materials will arrive from Lebanon, Cyprus, box, pine, to rebuild and decorate the place where I promise you to be, my house, where I will rest in glory among you and all the children of those who bullied you, attacked you, abused you. All those who hated you will come crawling on their knees, bowing at your feet, and they will address you as the city of God, the place of the eternal, the Holy One of Israel, Zion, sweet heaven on earth. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, that just sounded good. Hallelujah.
That's good. Hallelujah. Yes. That is good. And it's God. And so
and
it is
God.
We,
and
hallelujah.
So it is. Amen.
Yes.
Well, God bless
so just
you.
Remind everybody before they go off the line that this Sunday service is a very important one. So everybody, you know, let them know we're worshiping at Bethany in the fellowship hall at 2:30 this Sunday. So it's a very important church gathering. So we want to make sure everybody is in the house, in the house. Remember that song that says, it's going to rain, it's going to rain? Come on in the house, come on in the house.
Yeah, because it is going to rain,
but it's going to rain in the house. That's where the rain is coming. And in that rain will be the blessings of the Almighty God. So we just praise God. Thank you and enjoy your time with as opportunity to increase the knowledge of God in the lives of those that know you. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Love you all. See you Sunday for this wonderful, unique experience. Come ready. Come full. Come full and pour out so you can get empty and get full, pour back into. Amen. God bless you. And bring that all of gladness.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you, my son.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, blessed, holy day and holy time. God bless you.